You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
.365/24/7. Fantasy football is a hobby that is .365/24/7. It may be the offseason, it may be the dead of winter, but you're listening to the Fantasy Football Frenzy right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Corey Paulson, the Fantasy Executive, taking you up about the next hour or so, talking some fantasy football, probably get into a little bit of draft stuff. Definitely going to talk a whole lot of free agency. And of course, this week I brought along with me my buddy, my good friend, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake is one of the top fantasy football rankers, and he is also the runner-up in the Flex Auction League. Jake, what's going on, my man?
I thought you were going to say also the top fantasy baseball ranker for the last 2 years, but I see where you went with that. You're going to get your belt. I'll bring you your belt this year.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get the belt sometime in August. That'll be a fun time. That's always one of the real fun events of the fantasy season when we get out to Washington, D.C., or wherever it's going to be at this year. For the annual Flex League drafts, of course, that is coming up. Of course, also coming up, and you'll be able to get some programming right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, is the big Tout Wars Leagues. And Jake, I didn't bring up the baseball thing, which congratulations, you're doing a great job with that, because we're talking football right now, you know what I'm saying? So obviously the baseball
thing. Oh, I know. I just thought that's where you were headed, because it's that time of year, and then you slipped that little dig in there that the runner-up of the Flex Auction.
Yeah, I had to get that. Now, last night, I always set up my little introductions, and last night I thought that would be a nice little fun wrankle as I was waiting on Snowmageddon to take place. But we only got 6 inches here in the city. What about you guys out in Virginia? Y'all avoided this, or you just got cold weather and rain?
We don't get much of that. We got our one snowfall the last month, and that was about it. It's 40 degrees, but we got a lot of wind. That's what I was kind of worried about for you guys, is if the snow was going to come with the wind, because it was beating against the house last night, like, pretty loud. It woke me up about 2 or 3 times.
No doubt. It's rough, you know what I mean? So if you're out there, if you're still snowed in, thanks for rocking with us, taking this time to talk a little fantasy football with us. Of course, the Fantasy Football Talk is 365 right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So Jake, my man, let me start off by saying, so far, I guess the past couple of weeks, the past week, has been pretty exciting as far as NFL offseasons go. Seen a lot of wheeling and dealing, seen a lot of moving and shaking and things like that. Obviously, the wide receivers have been a big topic, and so have the quarterbacks. But the running backs have been really slow to go, I don't want to say off the board, but the running backs have been really slow to find new homes, to figure out where they're going to be at in free agency. We get that market starting to shake out now. Obviously, the first piece dropping is Eddie Lacy signing in Seattle, joining a backfield of C.J. Procise, Thomas Rawls, and Alex Collins in. Jake, right off the rip, this Lacy showed up at almost 270 pounds.
Yeah, well, and they're talking about, the report came in recently after that they are expecting him to play around 240, which is fine. And you know, it's funny, you see everybody on Twitter joking Eddie Lacy, and we have the jokes from last year that he was, the pictures that we saw that he was slim, and then we have the fact that he showed up overweight, and everybody loves to joke to the fact that he's fat. But let's be true and be honest about what his production is. He's a productive overweight running back. That's what he is. And you know, you look at last year, granted it was a limited sample because he was hurt, but he was top 10 in yards per carry. He was top 10 in yards after contact. He was number 2 in missed tackles. Even at his weight, he's forcing the second highest missed tackles because he's breaking a lot of them. He's just somebody that plays at a heavy weight, and that's okay, because also if you look at his entire career, and you know this, Corey, his first 2 seasons with Green Bay, over 1,100 yards, 20 touchdowns in the first 2 years, and even every down part that he's had, if you look at his seasons year by year, 4.8, 4.1, 4.1, 5-point change last, he's been at least 4.1 or better in yards per carry every single year. So he's just somebody who plays heavy, and is, as long as he's effective, why are we going to complain so much? I know it's fun, and you know it's fun to joke about, but the guy is just an overweight player that it works for him.
Yeah, I just worry about him, a young guy that heavy like that, you know what I mean, carrying all that weight at a young age. I don't want him to blow up to over 300 pounds when his career is over. You know, that's from the serious side of it, you know what I mean? You know, diabetes and stuff like that, so I'm trying to look out for the player's long-term health. Now, Carroll did say that, you know, like you said, around that 240, and I agree. He is a guy that can play at a bigger weight. Man, I don't want to say a classic big back, but definitely a big back. And, Jake, those first 2 seasons, I figure that first season he came out, Obviously, people were saying, well, he's part of the Green Bay Packers offense. He's going to have an opportunity to finish off drives, score a lot of touchdowns. Then we saw the pass-catching ability. And then it was also the injuries that played into effect. And then, not to mention the fact, you got the overweightness. I remember, I think it was 2015, I think Matthew Berry had him at 1-1 overall, Eddie Lacy. And ever
there
since
a couple people that did.
Yeah. And ever since then, Lacy has been, maybe because it was that 2015 season and the major disappointment that he was, fantasy owners despise this guy. I'm not going to go as far as say I'm on board with that. But if I own Lacy in 2016, especially in this situation in Seattle where you have all of these backs, it's going to be as a bench player.
I don't think he can go that low. I think he should go be a little bit higher. I'd be happy to have him as my RB3. I don't want him as my top two running backs because I think he settles into that RB3 value. But, yeah, I remember that. You're right, Corey, because 2015 was also the year that I had C.J. Anderson number one. That was a bad year. And that's what it was. Is if you remember, there was injuries. There was people aging. Lacy was coming off a big year. C.J. Anderson. That was the year where it was just really open of, okay, who's going to be the number one running back? You know, Le'Veon Bell hadn't been really, truly Le'Veon Bell. So it was just all those situations put together, and there was arguments out there. So mine was for Anderson's, his was for Lacy. There was a lot of missed picks in that first round that year. But, you know, you look at, like
I
you
like
said,
the way you owned
years
it, though.
Prior.
I like the way you owned it.
You know,
yeah. Why not?
I got to own it. I still have a soft spot in my heart for C.J. Anderson if he could ever stay on the field. But that's a big question at this point. But, you know, I think that Eddie Lacy is what he is the fact that you also saw they brought in James Starks at times when he was even on the field and still being effective because he did catch more passes than people realize. You mentioned it. In the first two seasons, he had almost 80 catches and around 800 yards in those first two years, or 700 yards. And I don't think that's the best part of his game, though. I think he's definitely – that was more of the role they were trying to say, you know what, we don't have anybody else. And they tried to use James Starks at times. This is before Ty Montgomery really showed up last year. So you put Eddie Lacy with the team of C.J. Prosise, and Eddie Lacy could be what he is. He can be that first and second down running back. He can be your goal line option. He can be the tough pounder. And you know what? C.J. Prosise, perfect complement. He's David Johnson light is what I keep saying, and he's great in the passing game, and I think they complement each other. And my concern here is this destroys Thomas Rawls, in my opinion. But if Eddie Lacy is my third running back, I'll be happy with that.
And that's where I wanted to go to next, and I'm glad you mentioned the name David Johnson because I've been I jumped in the early draft over there at Data Force Fantasy Football. Slow draft, you know, started about a week or so ago, and I'm looking at this one specific team. He took David Johnson at 1-2. Then he went Brandon Cooks, Doug Baldwin, Jordan Reed. And in the fifth round, he took Thomas Rawls. If you replace that fifth round Thomas Rawls with a fifth round Eddie Lacy, so your back, so your starters, Johnson, Lacy, Cooks, Baldwin, and Reed. I still don't like that.
I don't like it because you did two things. It's that similar situation to we talk about, and we're not going to talk about fantasy baseball, but when I talk about the fact that you go catcher and pitcher early, you kind of did the thing where you went to tight end, and then you also waited on running back, which I'm saying is if you're not going to grab two running backs in the first 3 to 4 rounds, and by taking Reed in the fourth, that's what happens, then I don't think you can go tight end too. Is either you get two running backs and a wide receiver and your tight end, and then you get a wide. Because if you would, I guarantee if you look back at that draft in hindsight, it's easier, but this is the theory behind it. Is like if you would keep Jordan Reed, leave him there, but in the second or third round, take one of those wide receivers out and take a running back that's on the board, and then take a wide receiver where he took Thomas Rawls. I guarantee you, you like the team a lot better.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I'm not looking at Lacy as an RB2. I can see him as an RB3.
No.
Yeah, I can see him as an RB3. That's more the range I would look. He probably wouldn't be on any of my teams altogether. Let me give you a couple of names: Lacy or Crowell.
Isaiah Crowell. That's not even close, that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. Lacy or Christian McCaffrey?
Depends on where he goes. That's going to be a close one. Christian McCaffrey, I think, is going to have to find the right landing spot because he's a jack of all trades, but it's similar to one of those situations we talked about before, is you can be a jack of all trades and a master of none. Yeah, I know that's cliche.
But it's true.
But if he ends up on the team where... Yeah, it's true. You know, if he ends up on a team like the Falcons, which he's not going to, but someone that already has two running backs that are sharing a lot of the workload, and now you mix him in there as well, you know, even, hey, Seattle, if you replace Thomas Rawls, you know, I just think he has to be in a position where he's that complex. He would need to be in the C.J. Prosise role for me to have value and say. So as of today, I'll give Lacy the edge.
I agree. I think McCaffrey might be the most fantasy-ready, though, out of the big three coming into the league this year with Fournette. Cook and McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey may have the best fantasy skill set and may be the most fantasy ready. What do you think about that?
I have Joe Mixon as my number one running back. And I think the good part about it is, because of his off-field concern, he might end up on a team he's not going to be drafted by a team at the top. He's going to be at least a second rounder, possibly third round. I can see end of the second round if people really start to believe that he's turned the corner and, you know, he's kind of, you know, reclaimed himself there. But, you know, if he's on a nice team, you know, let's put it this way. If he goes to Carolina and replaces Jonathan Stewart, or is in a competition to replace Jonathan Stewart, I would love Jonathan Mixon there. Actually, the same thing if Joe Mixon there, if Leonard Fournette lands there. But, you know, you put Christian McCaffrey in that same role, and yeah, I'd be with you if one of those guys ends up on a team that's worse down the list. So these landing spots are going to be very intriguing. And I think that I actually, if I was going by pure talent as of today, I like Mixon, Fournette, Cook, and then I still like Jamal Williams, which nobody seems to like as much as I do, except for our boy Jason Braddock, and then McCaffrey.
That's if Braddock like him, then I can definitely get on board with that. Let me get you right quick before we move on from Lacey. Let me get you to rank these right quick, and this to kind of give the listeners a good view of where you put Lacey. Lacey, Ty Montgomery, Derrick Henry, Amir Abdullah.
As of today, I still assume the Packers are going to bring somebody in and not ask Ty Montgomery to do 20 touches per game. But as of today, I would take Ty Montgomery, because even if they bring in a compliment, it would have to be a first and second down guy before I moved him down too far the list. So I would say, as of today, Montgomery. Oh, wow, that starts to get real tight there. Abdullah, if he could stay on the field, so I'm going to go Lacey. I'm going to say Lacey, and then, wait, what was the fourth one?
Derrick Henry.
Montgomery. Derrick Henry? Yeah, Derrick Henry's still fourth. The biggest thing is that DeMarco Murray looked way too good last year, and I don't see him slowing down at this point. And they've already come out and said in the offseason, Murray's still their lead back, and Derrick Henry's a change of pace. So
yeah.
I still have to put him.
They don't have an option. No, they don't have an option on Murray until after this season. So I do think Murray continues to see a big workload.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you. Exactly. Because if something happens to Murray, Henry's a guy that can step right in there and become a beast. He's going to be overdrafted, and I'm probably going to be one of the people overdrafting him, trying to take that shot, that gamble. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll pull him up to 5-6 in that the 5-7 range, because I think he's that talented. But, you know, he needs an opportunity. But, you know, the running backs are going to be real sketchy and real hard to figure out this year, Jake, because I look at it like this, and especially when it comes to fantasy purposes, I'm looking at these teams and I'm saying, if you don't have a workhorse, a lead dog, then in my opinion, you really don't have a running game.
That's kind of the Giants. That's all you need to say is just throw out the Giants.
Yeah.
That's what you're at this point in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, the other running backs, obviously, that's out there right now trying to figure out what their position is going to be. You got Latavius Murray, Adrian Peterson, and Jamal Charles. Charles, I believe, is also about to take a visit to Seattle. We don't think they have five running backs, because Collins still in the mix also. And Murray is visiting.
It is Pete Carroll.
Yeah, you never know. Murray is visiting the Vikings, and Peterson is just like, somebody, please. Anybody. Somebody. You know, he's the guy when you're picking teams. I want Johnny. I want Latavius. I want Eddie. And Adrian is sitting there like, what about me? You know what I'm saying? So
you try to, like, sneak in between people and catch their vision. Like, you try to be, like, where they're looking.
Yeah, you're like, hey, what's up, dog? It's me. It's me. You remember me 2,000 yards? And they're like, I don't know. What do you think? How do you think this shakes out for these guys, Murray, Peterson, and Charles?
I think Murray could end up with the Vikings. I would like that fit, because I think that Murray could easily be their number one first and second down running back. And if you look at it, I think he develops a nice complement to Jerick McKinnon, because Asiata is what he's been proven so far. He's a goal line option, and he's been given so many chances and just hasn't been able to produce. And we all remember the fond days of, you know, DFS when he scored three touchdowns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're talking about real NFL life, I think Murray would make for a nice fit there, especially what they're trying to do. Adrian Peterson, I think he's just going to be whatever's left at this point. And you know what the sad thing is for people that hate the team and hate what always happens, I could see this falling into a, hey, how do we replace LeGarrette Blount? Let's bring in Adrian Peterson and watch. He still does have something left. Like, everybody thinks, let's be real, Corey, you know this. He looked toast last year. Adrian Peterson looked done.
Yeah, I didn't have him no
place. And he's going to wake back up when he's with the Patriots.
That would be so, I would be so disgusted and disappointed if that was the case. And you know what? If he ended up in New England, he's going to be too high to be drafted. On you know, his value is going to be too much for me to draft him anywhere.
Oh, but he's going to be way too high.
And he's going to be a player that I end up missing out on. And when you think about Charles, I think everybody thinks he reunites with Peterson out there in Philadelphia.
I can see that. That's an intriguing spot. Philadelphia is another team that's just kind of been trying to, it's similar to the Giants. It's
treading
they keep
water.
Trying to find options that just don't work. Yeah, because basically Ryan Matthews can't stay healthy. We know if he could, he's actually been a terrific running back. But I think that's intriguing, especially when we talk about the pass catching option and the fact that that's the Peterson offense, is they love throwing to the running backs. The only thing is they have Darren Sproles there, so what kind of situation does that play out into? But I think that Charles and Adrian Peterson, I think they're going to be post-draft signings at this point, because the draft is so deep at running back this year that why do you need to sign either one of them? There's so many injuries, and at this point of their careers, why would you sign it and not see what you get in the draft first?
No doubt. We spoke about those New England Patriots. When we return, we'll tell you about the newest member of the New England Patriots. I think he is in for big-time fantasy success. I think Jake may differ with that. When we return right here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Rosters are getting set up. Players being signed. Already got some early fantasy football drafts taking place. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be doing it with you each and every week right here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. I'm Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. I'm one of the best fantasy football players you will ever have the chance of listening to the voice of. And I got along with me my buddy Jake Seeley. He's pretty good too. Jake, all right, here we go. Last week, when New England first emerged as a team in the running for Brandon Cooks, I kind of was like, a lot of pieces in that offense, a lot of different weapons. Tennessee needs him more. You know what? If he does end up in New England, mid wide receiver two. High upside, very little consistency. Then when I found out that it did happen, I did a double take and I thought about it. And I know the talent level is not the talent level of Randy Moss. And I know the Patriots offense is different now. But I got to be honest with you. I see him. I have him right now. Cooks is wide receiver 12. I'm looking 50 to 60 receptions, 10 to 12 touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards receiving. And I think he slots in as a wide receiver one. And I think that touchdown number, 10 to 12, could very well be on the low side. I think he pops the top on defenses better than DeSean Jackson does right now. I don't think no wide receiver elicits fear more than Brandon Cooks does when it comes to just burning, going deep down the field. I got to be honest with you. I'm all in on this move. I don't think it's a second-round pick you can make in 2017 that's going to do better than Brandon Cooks will. I'm talking about from 2-1 to 2-12. Outside of those first 12 overall, I got Brandon Cooks 13.
You can have him at 2-1 all the way through 2-12. You can have every single pick of every single one you want for him. Here's the problem with Brandon Cooks is we see his numbers versus outdoors versus indoors. They take a big dip. They almost 3 fantasy points per less per game on the road, or not on the road, outdoors versus indoors, not road versus home, because that's the more important factor. Is we're talking about outdoors and indoors because on the road includes playing in the dome with Atlanta and teams like that. So you got to incorporate the fact of if he's on the track and indoors versus if he's playing outside in inclement weather. So and I understand that we're talking about quarterback to quarterback. There's no dip there. Not at all. And I don't really concern about that at all. It's Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Let's be real. Drew Brees does have a little bit better of a deep ball at this point in their careers, especially because Tom Brady just doesn't have the arm that he used to. It's not terrible, but at the same time, he's not throwing the ball 50 yards downfield on a dime and hitting these guys in stride. And a lot of these will probably be, he can hit 30-yarders for Brandon Cooks just fine, and Brandon Cooks can do the rest himself. I completely agree with you that. My biggest problem is when you look at the Patriots and you look at ever since Randy Moss, the number of wide receivers with double-digit touchdowns is almost nil. It just doesn't happen, and it's partly because that's not how they use their passing game because of how many weapons that they have and because Gronkowski is always there. Now, if you want to tell me they move on from Rob Gronkowski, I'll jump on board with you. But with Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, and I know that Chris Hogan's not a serious threat,
no,
but he's in the mix, and Tom Brady, just like Drew Brees, uses everybody. So he's still there. They brought in Dwayne Allen, which is basically a new Martellus Bennett because they just made the same exact trade all over again. So, and then you still have to remember Deion Lewis and James White out of the backfield. Tom Brady spreads it around to everybody. So I'm with you in the fact that I don't think the touchdowns go down, but he's an 8 to 9 touchdown guy, and I think the yards could take the hit at 10%. So he's still going to get over 1,000 to me because he's close to 1,200 the last 2 years with the Saints. But if you're talking about 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, he's a mid-level wide receiver too. I'm not far from you, Corey, when I talk about the fact of 12 versus 16, 17, 18. I just think if you look at the names that we're including wide receiver-wise in front of them, and if you want to throw out names or I could do it vice versa, I think that's the bigger issue here is that there's people in front of them that I trust more for fantasy production, especially when it comes to how much their usage is going to be. Like, would you guess probably 20% usage for him every single game? That's the problem is these guys that are in the top 10, top 12 are 25% usage, sometimes close to 30.
Yeah, and I get that point, but I just don't know if they have that game-breaking touchdown ability. So let me tell you what I got. I got Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton.
Julio.
No, not for me.
You left out Julio.
I didn't leave him out. I don't have him. I got Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton. I want to see what happens in Houston before I put DeAndre Hopkins back there. Then I go A.J. Green. Then I go Julio. Then I go Jordy Dez, Michael Thomas, then Brandon Cooks.
I got a few more before I would get to them.
And so after Cooks,
I
have Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Doug Baldwin, Demaryius Thomas, Julian Edelman, and so on and so forth.
I would take three of those. I would take Davante Adams as well.
I had a feeling Adams you were going to say Davante Adams.
He made a huge turn last year, and every single year the Packers have two wide receivers in wide receiver one territory. They always do, and Randall Cobb's the afterthought at this point. So, yeah, I would still take Doug Baldwin. I would still take Allen Robinson and Amari Cooper. I'd put Keenan Allen in that discussion. Look, Keenan Allen is tough. Obviously, he needs to stay healthy, but if he plays 16 games, we
he's
know he can do
beast.
I don't have
yeah.
a problem if you want Cooks. Yeah, and that's one where I won't argue with you too much because you're talking about a huge risk versus a proven player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in that conversation. I think that Demaryius Thomas is he's right there, and that's where we're right now. Now we're at 16, 17. So that's for me. That's the big difference is there are about four or five receivers I'm taking in front of him.
But see, the thing about it is that's like we differ in this in a full round because I got him on the 1-2 turn. You got him on the 2-3 turn.
Like the 2-3 turn.
Yeah.
Actually, you know you left another one out.
Let me guess. Jarvis Landry?
Can you guess who it is?
Sammy Watkins.
No,
oh,
free
please.
Agent this year. He just recently signed.
Alshon Jeffrey. Brandon Marshall.
Nope.
Terrell Pryor. See, I got Terrell Pryor a little further down than
offense.
That. I get it. And then with Cousins Day, I like it a lot. But you know, I'm not going to never speak negatively of Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder is my guy. So I still like Jamison Crowder as the one there. And I know TP is going to put up some phenomenal numbers in big-time games, but I just still think Jamison Crowder is going to be the most healthy and consistent player in that passing game.
He may be, but at the end of the year, he's going to be the third in fantasy points.
Behind Reed and behind TP.
No, behind TP and Josh Doxson.
I can't do the Josh Doxson thing, Jake. Please don't do this to me. I can't do the Josh Doxson thing.
Oh, the kid is so talented. I know he hasn't been on the field yet.
Exactly. We haven't seen any of this talent that everybody's talking about. And I know you follow the college game closely and you get into the draft and stuff like that. But I don't ever want to say that a player is off my board because at some point everybody can be drafted. But Josh Doxson, I didn't draft him last year. I'm not going to draft him this year. I'm really in on TP and I'm in on Crowder and the rest of the offense. I don't touch Reed. You know,
what if Josh Doxson's still there in like the 40s?
Oh, I got to take
what
him
if
then.
He's still sitting on the board with like the yeah, I was saying, you know, if he's on the board with like the Adam Thielens and Mike Wallace's of the world.
You know what? Thielen is an interesting name that you bring up. Who would you go back in on Thielen this year?
I would, as this offense stands as of today, because you know, you want to talk about players and being bust. Laquon Treadwell is starting to look like a bust.
Oh my
fast,
goodness!
And he's
yeah.
only been in the league for 1 year. Like, you would think, hey, you don't take somebody that early in the draft and not get them on the field. Like, what do you have to be doing in practice, or I guess what are you not doing in practices and stuff like that for them to not put you on the field? And I've never been a huge Diggs fan. I've always compared Diggs to Randall Cobb. He does what he does well, but don't ask him to be more than that. And he's great. You know, the slot, he's great over the middle of the field, great after the catch, but stop asking him to do more. He's just not. So Diggs will always be a number two at best to me. So I actually think if Thielen can continue, the surprise, and he came out of nowhere. Look, we all missed on that. Nobody was talking about Thielen in the draft, or no one was talking about Thielen as potentially being anything in the NFL. Let's be, all be real. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear anybody out there saying,
Jake,
oh, I saw
Jake, I can, Jake, I can,
get
I,
out of here.
I can, Jake, no,
you're
Jake, I have a, I can go look it up right now. I'll send it to you, Jake. I think maybe in about week 4 or 5, I wrote about Alan Thielen. Adam Thielen. I didn't say his name.
No. You're fine there.
Okay,
no,
okay,
I'm saying
okay.
when he was coming out of the draft.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't
there think. Was a one draft pundit around the world that was saying this, mentioning Adam Thielen.
They weren't going to get involved with that. You listen, Diggs is a player I like. I've never owned him in the fantasy league. He's a player I like. I did have some Thielen last year. He helped me win something down the stretch last year. I didn't win. I think I sat him that week he went off late in the season. So that's how I'm looking at it. I know. We got plenty of time to talk about these wide receivers and stuff that I want to get back to some of the free agency stuff. Alshon Jeffrey ends up in Philadelphia.
Yep.
So now Carson Wentz, he looks like he has some nice pieces around him, especially in the passing game. He went from nothing to almost having an abundance when you talk about Jordan Matthews, Torrey Smith, and now Alshon Jeffrey being the big ticket guy out there. And I think we probably agree on this one. I got him in that early to mid wide receiver 2 range.
Yeah, mine's more mid to low. And it's just because it's the Doug Peterson offense. We saw what Jeremy Maclin did when he moved over to Andy Reid's system. And what's Doug Peterson but an Andy Reid system? And maybe Doug Peterson grows a little bit. Maybe he opens up a little bit, but it's still a West Coast Andy Reid offense. So what is your number one wide receiver going to do, even if you are Alshon Jeffrey? I just don't know that he does so much. And I'm a Carson Wentz fan, and he has a nice deep ball, and he has a good arm, and he can make the throws to get to Alshon Jeffrey. But he's still developing. It's only his second year, so I think he has to be in that mid to low end conversation, especially as of today. Now, you know,
it's going to change. Things
can
change.
On Target, another show. Yeah, he said that they could trade Jordan Matthews. There's been no rumblings of that. He was just throwing it out there as an idea. Mm. If that were to happen, I could easily move Alshon Jeffrey up. But you're talking about Jordan Matthews is going to be on the field a lot, and Torrey Smith is going to be your deep ball guy. When was the last time you saw Kansas City or Doug Peterson with the Eagles run that much 3 wide? And I know Alshon Jeffrey will always be on the field, but you get my point. They don't pass that much, and they don't do a ton of 3 wide, where I just don't see the volume coming for Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay, I can dig that. You like Brandon Marshall, who's now a member of the New York Giants, a little bit better than you like Alshon Jeffrey?
I like him better for the price. If they're both on the board, I'm taking the number one with his team versus the number two, but I don't think they're that far apart. Brandon Marshall is in the low-end wide receiver 2 conversation as well for me.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that one. You got Pryor. I have Pryor probably in a little bit under Marshall, and you got him above both. So you're bullish on Pryor. I like that.
Yeah. Big time fan of Terrell Pryor as continues to grow, and I think this is going to be a great that this offense loves to throw. I knock the Kirk Cousins all the time, but he fits well with the Redskins. As long as he's with the Redskins, you can give me fantasy production. I'll take it.
You got, I guess, you got a lot of Washington fans in your area, right?
Oh,
they're probably the big football root
out
there.
That's why I don't listen to sports radio around here.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you on that one. DeSean Jackson goes to Tampa Bay. I think it's the perfect landing spot. I think it's a good look for Jameis. If they can get a running back there, I think it's a good look. DeSean Jackson improves the offense altogether, and the acquisition of DeSean Jackson is why I currently have Mike Evans as my wide receiver 3. I have Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and Mike Evans as my top 3 wide receivers.
Yeah, I could see that. Like the Mike Evans thing is, we know what it is.
Yep.
He's the best, one of the best red zone options in the league for anybody quarterback. I think this does a lot to help Mike Evans take that next step forward, and I think that would move him ahead of Odell Beckham. Similarly,
really?
See, Brandon Marshall, I think, capped Well, yeah, because I think Brandon Marsh, like Odell Beckham, we keep saying for the last 2 years, we keep saying he's got that little bit of room to catch Antonio Brown. He's got that a little bit more where he could be that good. But now with Brandon Marshall there, I think that took that ceiling away. He's still amazing, but I think that it took it away. It took that room that he had to get a few more touchdowns and a few more yards. Whereas Mike Evans has been in that same conversation, and this actually opens things up because the biggest part of it was Mike Evans was always dealing with junk on the other side of the field. So you just get rolled coverage over, double coverage so much more that it's a similar situation as it's always going to open things up. But Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz, as much as Victor Cruz has had a huge drop-off, still opened things up enough that Odell Beckham wasn't seeing double coverage as much as Mike Evans was for comparison-wise. So I'm with you. I think Mike Evans actually kind of switches places with Odell Beckham. They're neck and neck. I'm not going to argue about that.
You can't.
I like what it does for Jameis Winston.
Yep.
Because I didn't like that Jameis Winston was almost similar to his rookie season. He did improve on the touchdowns that he threw, but the yards were about the same. The mistakes were similar. I think this helps him out a lot because I don't want to put it all on Winston because he was dealing. Let's face facts. Rushel Shepard was his number two wide receiver.
I was going to ask you if you wasn't a fan of Rushel Shepard, Jake. You didn't have no Rushel Shepard last year?
Not to be my number two. Actually, I did. I actually used him for 2 weeks.
I was picking him up too. Yeah, tell me about it. Pulling for straws, how you get sometime in week 12.
Don't put, as they would always say, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I don't want to miss my number two.
All right, when we come back, we return. Still got some wide receivers we want to talk about. Kenny Britt surprisingly changed teams after a very good season. Ted Ginn has a new location. And plus, we got some other things we're going to get into when we return right here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Frenzy with the Fantasy Executive and the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley. Back up and Adam, Fantasy Football Frenzy, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, All In Kid rocking with me today. I have another half hour left or so to go on the program, talking about a lot of the things that went down in free agency over the past couple of days. The hobby is 365, 24/7, just like the National Football League. As a matter of fact, Jake, I'm in my first slow draft of the season. I got started when did I start this draft? This draft's not even a week old yet. We're in round 13, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing because we still got plenty of free agencies talk to get to. Still got some less talked about points that I want to get out. I think the Kenneth Dixon thing is something that nobody's paying attention to, but I think that's going to be something that people need to pay attention to. Yeah, exactly. I know you're up on it, Jake. So I had the fifth pick. I started in round one. I took Odell at five. Whatever. It is what it is. That's kind of – I think we have a consensus top five in 2017 when it comes to PPR. In the second round, though, what's this? 210. Excuse me, not 210. 12, 11, 9. All right. 2-8. No, 2-7. At 2-7, Jake, I got Melvin Gordon. And I think Melvin Gordon in Anthony Lynn's ground and pound system, if this guy is a first round draft pick now.
For the fact, let's say a couple different reasons. He was number 8 last year with 13 games played. Mm-hmm. Everybody pay attention to that. 8th in 13 games for what he was doing last year. He was top 5 in fantasy points per game. Danny Woodhead is a large part of that with the fact that he got hurt. Well, guess what? Danny Woodhead isn't in there anymore.
He's gone now.
So get Melvin Gordon. What people also don't notice, Corey, and what I'm sure you know, especially in PPRs, in those 13 games, he caught 41 passes for 419 yards. Melvin Gordon is gone from first-year bust, which is why you can't write people off after 1 year,
I agree,
to one of the best running backs in fantasy.
He definitely is. People talked about the yards per carry all year long. It didn't matter. He was scoring touchdowns. He was catching passes. And now he gets an ideal situation with a head coach that is known for running the football, that wants to run the football. We see Anthony Lynn do it with the Jets. We saw him do it with the Bills this past season. Melvin Gordon's in a real good spot. And if owners let him slip on draft, which is a long time from now, make sure you jump on him. Melvin Gordon's a player that I'm in on. Third round, I took Demaryius Thomas. Don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be, but DT is a wide receiver too, Jake. I think I'm cool with that, right?
I would be happy with that as well. If you get Demaryius Thomas as a number two, you're happy about it. Yeah. That's right where he should be. Shouldn't be your one number one. If you got him as your number three, he'd be doing somersaults. But yeah, obviously, that means you probably waited on running back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the fourth round, as my wide receiver, I went and got my wide receiver three. You know, I still build my wide receivers. My wide receiver three is Alshon Jeffrey. I got Jeffrey as a three on this team. Some of the players that went before Alshon, now I think this is like Alshon had signed already by the time we got to this point in the draft. Edelman, Davante Adams, Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate, Allen Robinson, and Sammy Watkins all go before Alshon Jeffrey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy, why are we going to keep doing this with Sammy Watkins?
I don't know. I'm not on no Buffalo Bill this year except for Tyrod Taylor.
If you want to give me Sammy Watkins as my number three, I'm cool with that because, you know, obviously you would love to not have to start him. You're not going to get him as your four. But if you get him as a three, that's fine because I got two guys in front of him. I can roll the dice and take the risk of what he brings. But this is year after year after year now, and I know they have Tyrod Taylor back there. And Tyrod Taylor every single year is a top 10 quarterback for fantasy purposes. But Sammy Watkins is basically Nomar Garcia-Perry. He's Grant Hill. Let's get him on the field for more than six games before we start getting excited about it.
I love the Grant Hill reference. I always like to poke fun at the Dukies. So got Alshon as my three, and I came back. I went on auto pick by accident. You know, it happens. It's still early. I was watching the WBC this weekend. Speaking of WBC, the big one is tonight, right, with Dominican Republic and United States? I mean, Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico?
I think
Dion and Puerto Rico play tonight, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, there's no baseball talking on this show. So we got then, and then for my flex, Jake, I was surprised I got your boy, Terrell Pryor.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
Got Terrell Pryor in the fifth. Yep, as my wide receiver four, Terrell Pryor in the fifth. Now, obviously, I think this will change throughout the course. You know what I mean? But just getting an early look at it. Then the rest of my lineup, I feel my RB2 is Ty Montgomery. As always, in round seven, I take my shot on Derrick Henry. And the eighth round, this is a guy I wanted to talk to you about. In the eighth round, I took Cam Meredith, wide receiver for the Bears. Now, I know you got the Kevin White situation with the Chicago Bears. Cam Meredith came on last season, and I think, listen, the offense is going to be pathetic, but they will be throwing the football a lot. I think Cam Meredith can be a solid NFL one on the Chicago Bears. I think he's in that three mix for fantasy purposes, but I definitely think Cam Meredith in the eighth round is pretty good. If I'm not mistaken, in 2016, Cam Meredith finished as a WR1 5 weeks.
That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know the fact off the top of my head, but it would surprise me the fact that there was a couple weeks there he was seeing 15 targets or so. Yep. And, you know, this is another situation. Kevin White, tons of talent. He has to get on the field.
Got to see it.
And
yep.
Now this is 2 years for him getting on the field. At least with the other guys, some of the other ones we talked about, with the situation with Doxton, it's only been 1 year. So you could get Cameron Meredith and Kevin White. But the fact is, even if Kevin White's out there, Marcus Wheaton is not a true threat to be the number one, number two.
No,
he, no, we no. Show, yeah, he failed with the Steelers is number two. He failed with the Steelers as the number three. And the truth of the matter is the only time he had value was the end of that one season. And it's real easy when you were the fourth option because it was Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
So you were the fourth option there. So let's be realistic about that. So I'm with you. I think that Cam Meredith is going to provide nice value because he's at least the one that we know is on the field and can have a decent season. And it really comes down to the chemistry that he's going to have with Glennon. But you know what, Corey? I want to circle back real quick to something you said earlier about Melvin Gordon. And for people who's getting so downtrodden in that, you know, somebody who had a 3.6 yard per carry in his rookie season and 3.9 yards per carry average in his fourth season?
Who's that?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a good one right there, Jake. LaDainian Tomlinson is in the Hall of Fame, a first ballot Hall of Famer at that.
And he had plenty of 4.5s, and he had a 4.5, 4.3, a 5.3, and a 5.2, and a 4.7, and then at the last couple of seasons, a 3.8 and 3.9. But I'm just saying, this is the first year after being a huge bust. Let's give him a chance before we just say he's somebody that can't average over 4 yards per carry.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's a good call right there. And in the 10th round of this draft, just to lead this draft alone at this, in round 10, I took a brand new Cleveland Brown wide receiver, Kenny Britt. I have always loved Kenny Britt's talent, but every year I draft Kenny Britt and Britt happens. This year I don't touch Kenny Britt, and once again, Britt happens. I don't know if he just doesn't want to play for me. I don't know what the deal is, but now he goes in a situation in Cleveland. No Terrell Pryor. I like Hugh Jackson's offense. If you can get a quarterback out there, you got Corey Coleman on the other side. You got the other young man in the passing game also. His name always skips my mind. Who's that other wide receiver they got out there in Cleveland?
Corey Coleman or Rashad Higgins?
Nah, I'm talking about Josh Gordon. We got plenty of time before we go down that path. But Britt in Cleveland, I think, can be interesting. I don't want to rely on him as a starter. I kind of want him in that same value that people got him for last year. I don't think he goes off the waiver wire this year. I think maybe in the middle rounds, you get a Britt. Maybe in that 8, 9, 10 range, you can be able to find Britt there. If you don't have to put him in your starting lineup, I'm fine with Kenny Britt.
Oh, yeah, so wide receiver 4, absolutely. You look at the fact that Kenny Britt is the wide receiver 25 last year with what did he have at quarterback playing for the Rams? So you get exactly 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. He will be the number one. I think logically I would have kept Terrell Pryor if I was running that team, but I can, maybe they like Kenny Britt a little bit more because
I agree.
He was somebody who was considered an athletic freak when he came out. Remember, that was the draft of Akeem Nicks. Mm-hmm. Who at that point would have thought that Kenny Britt would have been the one lasting along and Akeem Nicks was done?
I know, right?
I mean, done.
Crazy.
So, I'm with you. I would love to have him as my number 4 because he's somebody that could potentially be a wide receiver 3 again, and you can just stick him in case like one of your guys gets hurt or you have a bust there. The biggest question obviously comes down to quarterback. But, can it get that much worse than what he played with last year? I don't really think it can. Even if you gave me I was about to say his name and it just went out my mind. The quarterback that played a couple games for the Kessler. No, not Kessler. Yeah, Kessler. Even if he's that quarterback, I'm fine with it.
All right, cool. That's cool. Let me get your opinion on these two guys. Tay Ginn ends up in New Orleans. He replaces Brandon Cooks. And we have Pierre Garçon sends out to San Francisco to replace Torrey Smith.
I think that Pierre Garçon is interesting because another situation where we don't know what the quarterback is truly going to be. But as of today, Hoyer has proven to be capable in the mm-hmm. fact that you know what? Pierre Garçon, if we ever remember that one year with these Redskins when they had nobody else, saw a bevy of targets. I mean, just so many coming his way. As of today, he's looking at the same thing all over again.
Yeah, no
so
doubt.
So I think Pierre Garçon is in that wide receiver 3 conversation because I don't know that he gets the touchdowns.
You're talking about that 2014 season. I think I think that was my best fantasy team ever. I think my running backs were Jamal Charles and somebody else popped, and I wrote them. My wide receivers were Antonio Brown, Pierre Garçon, and Andre Johnson, and they finished 1, 2, and 3 in receptions. Smoking with gas that year. Wow. That was a good team
That was a nice year. By the way, you'll appreciate this, Corey, before you go to break. If you ever want to see Cody Kessler, doing very well, girlfriend, super hot.
Really? Look at that, Cody Kessler.
Yeah,
I'm proud of him.
It's Valeria Kuklishina.
Whatever it is. You know she's hot when you can't pronounce the last name. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, bro, she's hot. I can't even say the last name. I call her Miss K. So there you go right there. That's some of the moving and shaking that took place at the wide receiver position. Speaking of the wide receiver position, I want to ask you, though, when you look at these guys that change places and stuff like that, and you look at these situations and how they shake out, the Ginn Jr. thing is interesting, but not so much. I think it's limited fantasy.
Love it.
You love it. Oh, that's right. You are on board with that. I heard you say that the other day.
Low end wide receiver too, man. The thing is, everybody wants to prop up Willie Snead, but Willie Snead is what Willie Snead is, and he's great in his role. But if you look at it, touchdowns are not there. Willie Snead's still a wide receiver 3. Now, if Tay Ginn falters or fails in his transition to this team or gets hurt, then let's talk about Willie Snead. But as of today, Tay Ginn is going to field that Brandon Cooks role. Now, he's not as good as Brandon Cooks, let's be real, but he did improve his hands last year that everybody loves to trash him for his hands. They're not as bad as people want to make them out to be, and he's going to fill the Brandon Cooks role. And a Brandon Cooks role with Drew Brees in that offense, guess what? You're going to be nearing 1,000 yards, and you're probably going to catch 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. So he's a low-end wide receiver too for me.
Before we head out, another thing I want to ask you, Jake, just a couple things just hit my mind. And I'll tease one leading to the next segment with that. But Devontae Parker, are you done with Devontae Parker?
Not yet. It's funny. He's another one with this Kevin White situation and mm-hmm. Docs and everything. I'm not done with him yet, but my concern is the fact that it's either him or Leonte Carew that's going to be done. And I know it's too soon to say Leonte Carew because they just drafted him last year, and they moved up in the draft to draft him. But for the fact that they made such an effort to bring back Kenny Stills – It's either Parker or Carew, what they're not happy about. And as of today, you would have to assume it's the one that's been there for 2 years. So I'm not completely off yet, but the signs are definitely looking down as of right now.
It is a player that very well could be in the wide receiver two mix in 2017. The only thing is, this young man doesn't have a team yet. If he ends up in the right situation, I think he's a wide receiver two for fantasy. I'll tell you who that is when we come back on the Fantasy Football Frenzy right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Slowed it down for us on the final segment of the program. It's sad to say goodbye to you. That's what it is. We'll be back next week, though. Replays throughout the weekend, but of course, each and every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Fantasy Football Frenzy. Jake, Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday. Yeah, sorry about that, Wednesday. That's right, this program is on Wednesday now. I had to change the schedule. So right there in the middle of the week. So get a little Wednesday NFL action for you. Jake, who you have as your number one wide receiver in this draft class?
In this draft class, Chris Davis.
Chris, you mean Corey Davis?
That's what I meant to say. Sorry, I'm looking at two. I'm looking at another thing at the same time. That's what I was talking about, the breaking news: Rex Burkhead signed with the Patriots.
Oh, so Rex Burkhead with the Patriots. You got some breaking news, right?
Yeah,
there.
Corey Davis. I'll put it to you this way: Corey Davis if he would have came out last year, he would have been, I might have even put him first last year. He was in the conversation to be number one last year alongside Josh Doctson. He is definitively number one this year, in my opinion.
Okay, I have Mike Williams at number one. But let's just say Corey Davis, for argument's sake, is number one. And he ends up on the Tennessee Titans. I think that's a low-end wide receiver, too.
Love it.
Yep. You agree with that?
I would agree with you. I think either one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm a Mike Williams fan. Mike Williams is number two for me. I think similar to last year where I said Ezekiel Elliott and then everybody else in the running back position, as much as I like Kenneth Dixon, who you were talking about before, is everybody else behind him was a drop-off. To me, it's Corey Davis, Mike Williams, and then everybody else at the wide receiver position. And there's such a big drop-off. So it is Mike Williams. I think whichever one it is, if they do draft as of today, which seems like they should probably do that, I agree with you. Low end wide receiver too.
Yep, I think that is the wide receiver. I don't want to say steal, but the wide receiver, like Zeke to Dallas last year, was a great fantasy fit. Any one of these top wide receivers to Tennessee is a great fantasy fit. I understand the young man Tajay Sharpe is there, and we liked what we saw from Rashad Matthews definitely in the second half of the year last year. I think Tennessee's offense is an up-and-coming fantasy offense. The way they run the football, you're getting good quarterback play from Mariota. You got Matthews on the outside, Tarjay Sharpe, up-and-coming. Still got the veteran Delanie Walker in the mix, but one of these young wide receivers right here I think can definitely step in and make an instant fantasy impact. Jake, you mentioned the name Kenneth Dixon, and it's something that we talk fantasy 24/7, 365. And really, have people been talking about this latest news with Kenneth Dixon getting his 4-game suspension to start the 2017 season because of PED usage? And we saw where they went out and they brought Danny Woodhead in. Danny Woodhead is not going to play 16 games. So if you draft Woodhead, drafting Woodhead is kind of like drafting D'Angelo Williams. I'm going to have him until I get Le'Veon Bell back. And I think you're drafting, if you're in on Woodhead, you're in on Woodhead until Kenneth Dixon gets back. Maybe he appeals. He gets it knocked down in 2 or 3 games. I like Kenneth Dixon a lot, but this right here is really going to drop his value, but I think it's a buying opportunity.
I do, too. I think both Dynasty and in drafts, to get him at the later you draft and just stash him, and people are going to – that's why, is because people are going to hate to do it because you're stashing somebody you can't stash on your IR. He's just going to take up a bench spot for the first 4 weeks. But I was a big fan of Kenneth Dixon. He was one of my top three running backs of the draft last year. I was excited to see what he could do with the lead role this season. And all I kept saying was, don't mess this up, Harbaugh. Don't mess this up. And they signed Woodhead. And I was like, oh, you just took away part of his game. Okay, it's not that bad. And then this PED thing happened. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, though. Now he's going to be at the end of the draft, 13th, 14th round. People aren't going to be drafting him. And I'll stash him at that point because, like you said, Danny Woodhead at this point of his career. Right now, you would have to say, though, Danny Woodhead in PPR is a fringe RB1 just because of the numbers he's going to put together. He's a rock-solid RB2.
Any week
the injury is a big concern.
Exactly. Any week Woodhead is on the field without Kenneth Dixon, he's an RB1. I agree with you 100% on that. So it's going to be interesting to see the strategy and how people play that. Right quick on some of the tight end signings, I love the Deion Sims move. And, of course, you get Marty B headed out there to play, the mercenary Marty B headed to play for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I like the Deion Sims move as well. I think it's going to be a nice late-round sleeper. Martellus Bennett, you know this. I said I think he's at the fifth-best tight end for fantasy for next year, but I won't be paying up to get him. And then Jack Doyle, you know, people are excited about Jack Doyle, but remember last year when we were excited that Kobe Fleener left? Well,
yep.
Guess what? We're going to get all excited, and then Eric Swoop is going to be a thing this year.
Please, Eric Swoop, do not mess with my fantasy season in 2017. I cannot take it. I tell you what, is where I'm at on tight ends, Jake. This is the only scenario you're going to see me drafting a tight end early. If I can get Kelce in the fifth. If I can get Kelce in the fifth, then I'll jump in on a tight end early. Other than that, I'll get my tight ends way later on in drafts.
I will too, and the one I'm going to be targeting, and I have a feeling, unfortunately, that the hype is going to start moving him up because he's somebody that I had in the top five discussion as well as Cameron Brait with Tampa Bay, especially now that DeSean Jackson is going to open up that offense even more. I'm a big fan of Brait and what he brings to that team. So I'm hoping to get like a Brait or maybe even a Hunter Henry, but I have a feeling both of these guys, their hype value is going
to
go up.
All right, thanks a lot to the all-in kid, Jake Seeland. Of course, we continue to talk fantasy football each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. East with replays throughout the weekend. Thanks for rocking with me on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. We're getting you ready for 2017 right now.